This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Good evening, Rabbi Wallerstein, Parshat Vayeshev. So here's the story. If you are on your lunch break and you're watching this, and you figure in 15 minutes you're going to turn it off and go to work, it's not going to happen. So whoever's listening and watching this year tonight, you need an hour, and you're not putting it down. So if you're like pulling into a meter, you're putting in one quarter for 15 minutes, and you figure then you're going to go back to work, put in a dollar. We're going to learn some very big secrets in the Torah. In the 18 years I'm giving this year, none of the things I'm saying tonight I ever said before. A lot of it's from Eitzer Plois, Torah, which is an unbelievable sefer. You have to get it. It's just an eye-opening sefer. It's written by Zev Wolf Zuckerman. We're not going to talk about Binyamin tonight. So let me talk a little bit about what happened this week in my life. So this girl came to see me. She's in a very, very frum girls' school in Brooklyn. That's all I'm going to say. She decided, I think she has some friends in this little group, that God doesn't exist. She decided. So, her parents decided, let's go to Rabbi Wallerstein. Let's go to the videotape. So she came to me, and of course, you know, we know that if you're coming from an environment that God exists, also you don't wake up in the morning and God doesn't exist. So there's something going on that she wants to do, whatever. Okay. But anyway, one of the interesting things, one of the signs of a intellectual is a very high forehead. And I said that to people. I said, like, you really look intelligent? How do you know? Because you have a high forehead. They're like, come on, who said that? I said, Google it. And if you Google it, that's what it says. High forehead is a sign of, anyway, this girl was high forehead, no high forehead. This girl was extremely intelligent. I have to tell you what happened. So she sits down, I'm like, come on, what? This is ridiculous. You're smart. You know that things just don't create themselves. Like, that's ridiculous. So you'll tell me later why you don't believe in God. Not that you have questions, but why you know, because there must be a reason. But anyway, I said, well, you know what? You have questions? This time, I'm not going to blow you out. I'm going to answer your questions. How do you know the Torah is true? How do you know that a man didn't write the Torah? Maybe Moshe wrote the Torah, right? How do you know Hashem wrote the Torah? How do you know there's Hashem? And all? Okay, I said, okay. I said, well, this past Shabbos, I came up with an answer that I never had before. So I always said over the Eisha Torah, you know, the rabbi mechanic, he should be gesund, his father should be gesund. That it says there's only one animal in the world that was created with split hooves and doesn't chew its cud, and that's the pig. And if it was written by man, he would never put a statement in the Torah that could be disproven. So Moshe Rabbeinu lived in the Middle East. He never got to Africa. He never got to the Amazon. He never got to the Galapagos. He never got throughout the world. So if he wrote the Torah, he just would leave that out. He would say, this is kosher. Split of the truth is cause. This is not kosher. Right? Why would you put in a statement which can be disproven? Because if they come up with an animal right now that has split hooves and doesn't chew its cud, it's not a pig. I'm like, guys, shear's over. We're going to Burger King. Cheeseburgers. Because, right, so why would Moshe put such a thing? Now, don't cut out the tape that Rawazi said we're going to Burger King. Whoever's listening, do me a favor. Don't do that, because that's not what I'm saying. But if that wasn't true. So that's the proof that they all talk about. That's a big proof. Another proof they talk about, so you can say, well, he was a zoologist. You know, whatever. I'm going to tell you what she said. She's a really smart kid. And I said, and the second proof that he always spoke to me, Rabbi Mechanic, is there's fish. The Gemara says that there's no such thing as a fish that has scales and doesn't have fins. So if you can tell me Moshe Rabbeinu was a zoologist, right? But he definitely didn't see every fish under the water. We didn't see every fish under the water. And yet there's never been a net that came out with fish under the water that had scales and had no fins. So this girl, first time I ever came across such a smart kid, she says, maybe he gambled. Maybe he gambled. Not that he gambled, Robert Wallerstein, but he lived in his little world. Brilliant question. He lived in his little world, Moshe Rabbeinu, whoever wrote it, lived in his little world, and he never saw an animal that had split hooves and didn't chew its cud except for a pig. So he said, he figured, if I've never saw it, right, there were people who thought at that point that the world was flat, not round. So he wrote it thinking that, listen, I saw camels and I saw everything in there, that, and the whole world is the Middle East. There is no, he didn't know about South America. Very smart. I wasn't ready for this. He didn't know about South America. He didn't know there was an America. He didn't know there was the Galapagos. He knew he lived in the Middle East. So in the Middle East, he never saw it. So he wrote in the Torah, whatever he wrote, they never saw it. Not a proof. And they went fishing. And all the fish they ever took out of the right, who wrote it, always had scales and fins. So he figured, this is my world. This is all I know. Must be that's the truth. I was like, whoa, I'm doing this for a long time. I said, but I'm sorry to tell you that because Hashem knew that you were coming this week and I wouldn't have an answer, Hashem loves you so much that he wanted you to have an answer, that when I was in shul, being Mavid the Sedra, I saw something that I even called Rabbi Mechanic to ask him, do you guys use this? Because this is amazing. I said, and I, in all the years I'm doing this, the pig and the fish, I didn't have to go past that. But you're, say, it's a guy living in a small area, that's all he saw. I said, but I'm going to prove you God wrote the Torah. So last week's parasha, Rachel Imenu dies. And it says in the Pasuk, I have to read it to myself. Anyway, there's a girl in the world that didn't believe last week in God, and the Torah that does now. She was really smart. She is really smart. Let's go to last week's parasha. How you doing, Rebbe? Good. So we're in last week's parasha. Does Rachel die? Shishi? Shishi. Rivka's Menekes dies. Yitzchak dies. Shechem dies. Here it is. Okay. So this is what it says. You ready, guys? Pull your cards to the side. Vayetziv Yaakov Matzeva Kvurasa. Yaakov built a Matzeva on the burial place of Rachel. By the way, it brings down, there were 12 stones on that Matzeva. 12 stones. Everyone put in a stone, but Binyamin didn't. Yaakov did, plus 11 kids, because Binyamin was too young. He just died. His mother just died. He was a day old, so he couldn't do anything. And that Yaakov's stone was on the top. He brings down that many, 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 many years later, there was a church in Bethlehem, and they took a stone from Kevar Rachel to put on their in their church, and they came the next morning, and it was a hole there, and the stone was back on Kevar Rachel. And he did it a few times, and they realized that they didn't want to mess with it. But anyway, this is what it says.
Where did it bring that down?
My sefer that I just told you about. He built the matzeva. You're going to hear stuff tonight. Your mom's going to fall off your chairs. I'm not kidding. This is like the wildest share probably that I've ever given. Anyway, Matzevas Kivuras Rachel Ad Hayoim. The Pasuk says that till today, and tomorrow if you read the Chumash, till today, and 1,000 years ago, it's till today. So no matter what day it is, in 1,000 years from now, the Torah says that Kevur Rachel is still Kevur Rachel with a monument on it. Now, how could anyone except God write a statement that every time you read this book, it says, until today, Kevur Rachel went through the Romans, the Greeks, the Babylonians, the Persians, the Arabs, the Christians, it's Bethlehem. Bethlehem belonged to the Christians, right? They never knocked it down. The Arabs have no connection to Rachel. She's not Avraham Avinu. It's not the Marza Machpelah. There's no reason for them. They burnt Yosef's Kevur to the ground. There's no reason for this place to be. And the Torah says witness that whenever you're going to read me in 5,000 years, 4,000 years, it will be there. And if it's not there, the whole Torah is wrong. I said, now what do you have to say, little girl? I said, I'll tell you one better. And last week, 2 weeks ago, Parsha, Yitzhak Avinu dug a bear, and they called it Be'er Sheva. Ad Hayom Hazeh. Same thing, the Pasuk says, Be'er Sheva until today. Changed names, like Greek names and Roman names and Palestinian names and all kinds of names. Still Be'er Sheva. Now you're Dick? Unbelievable. So, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Torah. It would be ridiculous for him to write on a kever, which is just stones, that whenever you're going to read this, it's still going to be there. He can't write such a thing. A human being can't write such a thing. How could you write such a thing? How do you know it's going to be there? What? So then there's a Hashem and there's a Torah. That's she's going the other way. Some guy wrote it, made it up. It's makeup. So I said, you can tell me he made up the animals because that's all he knew. But how can he write that Kevur Rachel is going to be here in 5,000 years? A little teeny building. Everybody could destroy it. And it's still here. So I called up Rabbi anyway, and that was it. And I, Mamish, did not have this proof until Shabbos. And she came Sunday night to my house, whatever. Not normal. Hashem gave me this answer. I'm teaching 40 years. Ad Hayom Hazeh, it didn't mean anything to me. Now it means a lot to me. That's mamish that God knows till the end of time. God saying that Kevur Rachel will always be there. The Gemara says that the Kaisel will always be there till the end of time. And also, they had many chances to knock the Kaisel down. But the Kaisel, you could say, it's on the mount, and the Arabs protect, you know what I mean? It's the holy mount. Well, Kevur Rachel, out in Bethlehem, but it's Christian. It's a Christian town and a Muslim town. There's no respect for Rachel Imenu. She has nothing to do with the Goyim, and she has nothing, Christianity, she has nothing to do with Islam, that's for sure. It's because Hashem said it's going to be there until the end of time. Be'er Sheva, that's going to be the name of this place, this well, and that's going to be the name, and I don't care if it belongs to the Arabs, the English, the Palestine, nobody's changing that name. That you could say, a person could write that New York will always be New York. It wasn't, the Dutch, whatever, but to write that a little teeny monument is going to be there through time, that's got to be God. Nobody could write that. What?
By every other place that Yaakov named, it doesn't say Ariel.
Doesn't say Ariel,
right? So,
no, this is chose. Did Jaffa get it right? There's a few places in the Torah. There's Be'er Sheva. There's this. There's something in Bereishis. What?
It says Lo Yede Ishes Kivus Ariel Mazer.
Doesn't say that. In the Pasuk?
Yeah.
Ad Hayom Hazeh?
They said both,
but no one would know.
Or Ad Hayom. Let's see. That's the same thing. Yeah, but you can say, okay, nobody's going to find it. Maybe somebody who doesn't believe will tell you. Someone will tell you, know why? They burnt him. So that's why you know you'll never find it. That's not a. They cremated him. This, what? It says Ad Hayom Hazeh? I don't think so. Shema Makam Beskel. I don't think it says Arayim Hazeh. I don't know, you have to look, but I don't think it says that. There's a bracha. There you could say, you won't know it because it doesn't exist. Yep. But that she wouldn't have accepted. Whoever wrote it, threw him in the ocean or something, you know, that knew you wouldn't know. But this, it's a little monument. How could you write the Torah that a little monument on there's so many graves in the world that don't exist anymore. They built in Europe. They have malls on top of them. They have hotels on top of them. Yeah, Bethlehem didn't belong to us for a very long time. When they build a church on it, it would be a perfect place to build a church or a mosque. Hashem said, "Arayim Hazeh, it's going to be there." She couldn't argue with you. I got her. And then we started talking, whatever. But that was my. But I would not have. I would have been stuck on the other stuff. Said, okay, he lived in a little place, right? So he made a statement in his belief. You never found it until then. He got lucky. He took a guess. There's an answer. Here there's no answer. There's no answer. Everybody, there's no answer. All these people and people telling you, and atheists and all that, it's over. It's over. All the websites, girls and boys, over. All the guys that are off the derech that don't believe this, it's over. It's over. The Kevur Rachel is there. And don't go try to blow it up. It's there. And it's not even an important detail. It's an unimportant detail. And the Torah tells the detail is there today. And tomorrow, when you read the Chumash, it's on Ad Hayom Hazeh. And 100 years from now, if someone's going to read the Chumash, it's Ad Hayom Hazeh. It's it. You can't argue with that. So there is a God, and this is his Torah. So stop bouncing around and trying to make up stories over here. All the atheists, this is my message to you. Deal with what it says in the Pasuk. Last week's parsha. I got so excited. Because when I saw it, I was like, wow. But okay, so and all of a sudden this kid walks in. I don't believe. I was like, whoa, Hashem, I love you. He prepared me before, you know, the answer before the question. All right, anyway. Stuff like that excites me. What should I tell you? You see Hashem's hand. He gave you the answer before the question. It's like huge. Okay, now we're going to get into some interesting things. Oops. Very interesting things. All right. Let's start off with this week's parasha, the relationship between Yaakov Avinu and Yosef HaTzadik. Yisrael ohav es Yosef mikol banav. Yisrael loved Yosef. Yaakov Avinu loved Yosef from all his children. Ki ben zikunim hu lo. So I had a question on this all my life. I still haven't found an answer, but I think I could answer it with this answer. So the question is, Yosef was not his ben zikunim. Who was his ben zikunim? Binyamin. Binyamin was the last child born. So Binyamin was the last child born. Who's his ben zikunim? Binyamin was his ben zikunim. And the pasuk doesn't make sense. The pasuk says he was the ben zikunim. He wasn't. The last kid is the ben zikunim. So I was thinking to myself, Binyamin was too young. So he couldn't learn with him. Yaakov Avinu learned with Yosef for 17 years. Right? Binyamin was much younger. So even though he was his youngest, he didn't have a relationship. At this point, Yosef was the youngest relationship that he had. That's my answer. My answer is not as good as my question. But that's
Rashi gives an answer.
Yeah, that.
Like he was Dimita, he looked like Yosef looked like Yaakov.
But that's a Ben Zikunim. The Pashup Shah Ben Zikunim is the child that was born when I was very old. The child that was born when you were very old was Binyamin more than Yosef. Mm-hmm. The Pashup says, but yeah, I'll have his Yosef, not because he looked like him, Mikol Banav, ki Ben Zikunim Lo. So I think the answer is that he didn't have a relationship yet with Binyamin. He's too young. He had just, you know, he went with Yosef 17 years, so he had a relationship. He was the youngest son that he had a relationship, that he had an ongoing relationship at this point. I think that's what the Torah was trying to tell us. Anyway.
Between
I don't know. Yosef, a while.
More than 17?
No. No, because she died at childbirth. No. But he was younger. I don't know how many years he was younger. Whoever can figure that out, let me know. He was definitely younger. If he was 16, then we have a good kasha. But you see, there's no relationship. It doesn't say anywhere that he learnt with him. His relationship was when they wanted to take him to Mitzrayim as a little kid. But there doesn't seem to be a relationship here at this point. All right. Anyway, so listen to this. So this is what he says. He says, Hetivu teva bibnei adam, the nature of a human, sha'av oyev es beno, it's natural to Zion. I don't know, maybe he'll bring it at the end who it is. He brings it from a lot of different psukim. The teva of a person is that a father loves his son. Like it says, kirachem of the sources in Tehillim, kirachem of albanim. Upirish haradak, ein rachamim gedoylim, there's no bigger love or pity, rachamim, kirachem of alaben, that a father has for his son. Vishayvish harachamim hu me'ahava, it comes from love. As it says, Yisrael Ohav es Yosef. Shashday? So. V'haben, Ohav es Aviv. And a son loves his fathers. Ulam atinu daba niflam, v'lois tam and dam. We see something amazing. Sha'av Ohav es bin a yarsa, v'masha ben Ohav es Aviv. That a father loves his son much more than his son loves his father. And v'vuya bekama mekaymesh b'chazal. He brings it from a Gemara in Sanhedrin. A Gemara in Sanhedrin, if a father comes in the middle of the night and he's creeping into his son's house like a ganav, right? In a what do they call those underground things? In a tunnel, coming through a tunnel, right? And he's coming into his son's house. Also leben laharigas aviv. The son can't kill the father, right? He might be coming to kill him and his whole family. Why? Because the roiv of parents, fathers, have pity on their children. They're not coming to kill them. But he's not coming to hurt someone. The only time you could kill him in Baralacha Kishemesh, if it's clear to you like the sun, Shuagzari, that he's coming to hurt your family. Then you could kill him. But if he's just coming through a dark tunnel and right in the middle of the night, it's your father, he's not coming to kill you. But haben shabam mechtaro shalav, if somebody's son is coming through a tunnel in the middle of the night, mutal alharik zbenai, the father allowed to kill him. She'ein avas yishal ben lo'av g'day lo, k'moy avas av livnai. This is Gemara in Sanhedrin. That the love of a son to his father is not as much as the love of his father to his son. V'kivet shabam mechtaras, being that he's coming secretly through a tunnel, mutal hagdam lahargai, he can get up and kill him before he kills you. You hear? Okay, then he says something mind-boggling. Why is that? Why does a father have more love for his children than children have love for their parents? And we know that the mitzvah of kivud av v'aim is because naturally they won't do kivud av v'aim. So the Torah had to give a mitzvah. There's no mitzvah in the Torah that a father has to honor or love his son. There's no such mitzvah. Because naturally that's what they do. But a child doesn't naturally love their parents. And therefore the Torah has to give you a mitzvah in kivud av v'aim. It's in my book in kivud av v'aim.
What's the chiyuv for a father to love his son?
What's the what?
Why would there be a chiyuv for a father to love his son?
Why not?
Why would that?
He should abuse his child. He should hit him. He should hurt him. It's not a mitzvah to love your children. It's not. It's not a mitzvah to love your children because it's natural. Now, good question. You could ask me, why, Rabbi? Why is it natural that a father loves his child more than a child loves his father? And we know that's the fact. The reason, chas v'shalom, chas v'shalom, chas v'shalom, should never happen, should never happen, should never happen. The reason that a father sits shiva for a child only 30 days, and a child sits shiva for his father and mother for a year, is because, and the same thing with a wife, a husband only sits 30 days, not a year, because a person who loses a wife, every night he comes home, the bed next to him is empty, right? He doesn't need a reminder. He doesn't have to say Kaddish. He knows he lost his wife. A parent, nebuch, chas v'shalom, chas v'shalom, who loses his child, has a void that every single night he's tzebrachin. There's no, we don't say Kaddish for a whole year because you don't need Kaddish to remind you. But a child who loses a parent, if you don't make him say Kaddish for a year, slowly but surely he gets busy. He's got kids, he's got family, he's got work. So he has a picture of his parents, you know, but if we don't tell him, we don't make him say Kaddish, he's going to forget them. That's the reason.
Mother and sister.
What?
Mother and sister, you also forget pretty quick, and it's only a month also.
It's only 30 days. I don't think you forget so fast. It's also a very interesting, it's a different void, for sure. Brother and sister are closer than a parent and a child, from the child's point of view, if it's the right relationship. So, this is what he says, it's a mind-boggling teretz. Why do parents love their children more than children love their parents? And here's his answer. Hatam, lama, be'emes, avas ha'av, libnoi. A father's love for his son, chazik yisur avas ha'ben, is much stronger. Is brought in the sefer called Tosfos Bracha, in Parashas Yisro, and he says the following. B'mnei she'adam harishon, lo hayo layav. Adam harishon didn't have a father. Shelo hayo yilid isha, he wasn't born from a parent. Rak nivra me'adama, he was created from the ground. Memela, lo hayo lay rikshe ava shel ben la'av. He didn't have those feelings of a child's love for his father. He didn't have a father. His father was the dirt. L'chein ein b'yisayit ha'teva shel adam. It's not in his nature. Rikshe ava ben la'av. The love of a child to a parent, because Adam and Chava had no parents. So when they were created in their teva, they had no parents. Therefore, they had no love for a parent. Avo banim, but children, hayolay Adam harishon. Adam harishon had children, right? L'chei nikfu rikshe ava av libnoi b'yisayit ha'teva. So in his teva, in his nature, as Adam and Chava, they had love for their children. They had children, but they didn't have a parent. So in their teva, they had love for children. They didn't have love for a parent because they didn't have a parent. And therefore, he says, that's why the teva, the nature of a parent, is to love their child more than their child loves them. Oh, do we see it? Oh, do we see it in this generation, my friends? Oh, do we see it in this generation? There's no comparison. Parents are happy, just don't give me aggravation. Don't give me love. Don't aggravate me. Give me a hard time. I don't know how many kids will take a bullet for their parents. But every parent will take a bullet for their kids without even thinking. Maybe there's some kids that would, but very few. Not a teva. Not a teva. Adam didn't have a parent. Hear what he's saying here? No, you think. So he says like this.
Don't worry,
maybe
I'll take a bullet for you.
I don't want you to take a parent. Why don't we see that there's a mitzvah in the Torah that you have to teach your children Torah and you have to support them? Yes, the Gemara in Kedushin says that you have to teach your children how to make a living, how to swim, right? Those are things they have to, right? But in Torah, Shabbat Shabbat doesn't say this. But children have a mitzvah that says, It's normal for a father to love his children. We don't have to be commanded. But the love of a son to a father, it's not in his teva. That's why you have a mitzvah kibud av v'aim. There's a machlokes if a father loves his child more than himself. If a parent loves their child more than themselves. Machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Ben Azai in the Medrash Rabbah. Rabbi Akiva says, "V'sha'av oyves gufa yaisim ibnai." Rabbi Akiva says that a father loves himself more than his child. Ben Azai says, "V'sha'av oyves bnai yaisim gufai." Ben Azai says, "No, a parent loves his child more than his own body."
More than yourself,
you take a bullet for him. Oh, that's what it means.
So you don't take a bullet for yourself. Like, what does that
mean? I'll die for my child. So my child is more important than my life. His life is more important than my life. That's what Ben Azza is saying. If someone came and pointed a gun and said, "One of you has got to go," and the Germans did it a lot, the Nazis, they used to do that to the kids, and then the father would step up and take the bullet. That's what Ben Azai says. All right. Now let's talk about the Ksenas Possum. Never spoke about the Ksenas Possum. The multicolored Joseph's coat. What's the deal with this? The Ksenas Possum caused a lot of trouble here, right? What was it? Where did it come from? Why did he make it?
Was it
Machlekes. So that's what we're going to talk about. So he says, how could it be that the brothers shift a car were jealous of a nice coat? Big deal, it's a coat, right? So he says, in the Targum Yoshalmi, in Parashat Vayechi, Shi Yaakov Nasan Li Yosef Es Ksenes Ha'or, Adam HaRishon, Nimrod took it. Esav took it. Yaakov took it. And now Yaakov gave it to Yosef. This was very chashuv in the eyes of the brothers. And they felt, why should Yosef, who's not the oldest, right? Why should he get it? So he got that. Now, the fascinating point here is that when they came in this week's parsha to be Menachem Avol Yaakov, it says, "Vayimayin leisnachem." He didn't accept their nechama. Why didn't he accept their nechama? So my terror is always Vayimayin. No. Unbelievable. Why didn't he accept the Nechama? Yaakov Avinu said, "Guys, you can't fool me. Because I gave Yosef the kusnas or that Hashem made for Adam. And one of the things about the kusnas or that we made for Adam is that no animal would mess with anyone wearing it. In fact, the Medrash says that Noach used to wear it when he fed the animals, and he forgot when he fed the lion, and he kicked him, he bit him, whatever he did. So you're coming and telling me the coat itself is ripped, which means, it's beautiful, which means that he was wearing it, because the animal wouldn't rip it if it's laying on the floor. You're telling me, look, the coat is ripped and it's full of blood. If the coat is ripped and full of blood, it can't be an animal. Because it protected everyone who wore it from animals." He brings it down from by Yamar and it's not going to the same pick of the Revelaza. It's a pick of the Revelaza. Should be Shasha, you love Adam Hakshinas R. When the Adam was wearing Shinas R, how you call it Behemachai, one knife in front of all the animals bowed down to him. That's what it says, right? That's why he didn't believe. Shavishvatim told the concern is passing by Dom Hasayir that Yaakov should think that a Chaya Ra ate him. Amnu Yaakov vino loy milim. Shavu Yoda said you saw should think that passing. Shabishah shalavish adam peged zeh kovei v'chaya if used to bow down. Iyavshah shachaya Ra yichalto. He said therefore it's impossible that a wild animal ate him. L'chein me and Yaakov is nachin. That's why he said I don't believe you.
So then why did the brothers, if the brothers knew that, why did they call that shtick? They didn't know that. But if why were they jealous of it then?
No, they knew it was a special coat. But they didn't know it protected the guy from a wild animal.
So they didn't know it was from other militias.
Well, maybe they did, but they didn't know this magic. They didn't know that it's protected someone from a wild animal. So that was like the worst thing they could have done was to bring the Xinus. Because if he was wearing the Xinus, they couldn't have hurt him.
Why didn't Yaakov say... Where is it?
So it's funny because Yaakov said Torah of Torah of Yosef.
It could be
that Yaakov's just saying like, no, that if you're bringing me this, there's something going on here. Something happened. You're trying to fool me. So something happened.
He believed something happened, but he didn't know what.
Right.
So that's why he wasn't.
And I'll tell you what happened. Listen to this. I'm not done. So he asked them, it's a crazy story, a talking fox. There's a few reasons he didn't believe it. I'll tell you, there's another reason he didn't believe it. No, because he did Levaya. He walked, it says that a person who walks three steps with a person who's leaving is protected from any hezek. I'm going to read it from inside. So he walked Yosef a long time.
He believed that something happened to him.
He believed that something was He believed that something was very not kosher, and he's not going to see his kid again, but they did something. Because he said, it's impossible. All the stories that you're telling me is not true. There is a true story, and my son ain't here. So he must have had some suspicion that something was going on with these guys.
The Shvatim brought out a werewolf.
What?
Last year you brought down a magic.
Yeah, so they didn't bring out a werewolf. No, they brought out a fox. Hold on, I'll tell you in a minute.
For a kid.
Right. I'll read it to you again. Hold on. But you see, he walked him. He says over here, Yaakov. Hold on. When you walk someone, here. Yaakov Avinu ki mitzvos levaya. The Cheskeni in the Bali Teufis, the Daskeni Bali Teufis says, Kasher Sholach Yaakov is Yosef b'shechuta ki mitzvos mitzvos levaya. K'mo yishu b'chai es lo'erach, that he did for any erach that came. And it says, they walked a long way, and they came to a mountain, and Yosef said, you know, you don't have to go over here. Go back home. He didn't believe them. It can't be. He was, first of all, shliach mitzvah. He was sent. He gave him a mitzvah to go look and see how his brothers were doing. And shliach mitzvah enu nezakin. So the whole thing was like, this is not adding up here. Even though it says, when even shliach mitzvah, if you send him into a dangerous place, right, he could be Nizakin. So you could say they sent him to his brothers who hated him. He said, since he walked him, as it says the Gemara in Saita, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, anybody who walks with his friend when he leaves 8 feet, 4 amos, but here, and on Nizak, he definitely will not get hurt. He didn't believe them. And he didn't accept their tachnunim.
Did get hurt, sort of.
How did he get hurt?
He got sent away.
That was after he did a shlichus. He got there, he saw them. It was after the shlichus. The Sefer Ayasha. Muvadava Niflam Oid. It's an unbelievable story. Sha'acha Shevi'u Hashvatim LeYaakov is like Senes Pasim. Sha'yayitzim Tulu Badam. When they brought it dipped in blood. Oh my Yaakov! This is the jacket of my son, and a wild animal ate him. He said, go out into the field, Bring me the first wild animal you find. Maybe that's the one that ripped, that killed my son. Remember, they took off his Chinese possum before they threw him into the pit. Because they threw him in the pit with Chinese possum, the scorpions and snakes couldn't bother him. So maybe they did know. So maybe they just made a big mistake over here. Because Masha, they did know that it would protect him.
No, they took it off
him
because they knew that's proof that Yosef was dead. They didn't know that hurt the snakes.
Oh, that could be.
They knew
right.
this absolute proof that Yosef
this will
never
be. We're
going to
take this home. Right, that'll.
That's proof that Yosef's no longer here.
Okay, so Yaakov, they went looking for the animal, even though they knew there was no animal because they did it. But their father told them to go look for an animal. They knew there was no animal. They took their swords and they took their bows and arrows. And there's a wolf coming to meet them. Tafshu, they grabbed him. And they brought him to Yaakov. And they said to Yaakov, "Thus, this is the first wild animal before we found. We bring him to you." Yaakov took the wolf from them. He screamed at him. But called Gadol with a loud voice, crying with my lame and a bitter heart. Why did you eat my son? He's talking to an animal. He said, "You're not scared of God? You ate my son, you're not scared of God? And you're not scared of the pain you're putting me through? You just ate him for no reason?"
Sounds like the animal has bechil. Who said he has bechil?
This is a discussion with an animal. But Yiftach Hashem is Piazev. Hashem opened up the mouth of the wolf. Kidei lenachem is Yaakov b'dvarov. To answer him. Vayan kidvar me'elech. To be menachem Yaakov, that he shouldn't be in so much pain, Hashem made a miracle, made an animal speak. This is not the donkey of Bilam that was created ben Hashmashet. This was done l'fishata now. So he said, Chai Elokim Asher Barani Aretz. In the name of God, who created the land, in the name of your soul, my master, I never saw your son. I never ripped him up. I'm coming from a very far away place. I'm also looking for my son. I'm looking for my son. I'm already going 12 days. I don't know where he is. In Mace, he's dead. In Chai, he's alive. I came into the field today to look for my son, and your guys came, and they grabbed me, and they brought me to you. And I'm telling you what I'm telling you the truth. And you're a human being. Because you're a human being, you have Bechira. Because you have Bechira, you can do whatever you want with me. I'm just swearing to you, Hashem's name, I never saw your son. I didn't rip him up. And I want you to know that I've never eaten human flesh. So it's not my thing. I'm a wolf, but I never ate human flesh. When Yaakov heard this, the words of this wolf, he was very shocked. The wolf was talking to him. It's pretty shocking. Yishak Miyodi says, "Ev, you let him go."
Shocking me asking that question.
What?
Shocking me asking that question.
I guess so. Well, he screamed at him. He didn't ask him a question. He didn't know he was going to talk. He screamed at him. What'd you do? He wasn't asking him a question. He didn't say, "Did you eat my son? Did you eat my son? How could you do this?" Then he answered. He didn't expect him to answer. This has come from the Sefer Yasha. That's been Yama. It's a whole different story. That this was a werewolf?
Yeah. How could it talk? Is that the way we know that the only creature that created the only animal to talk was the donkey. So how could that wolf talk? Because it was a werewolf.
Let's see.
Could it turn into human? And how?
We
how
don't want to make.
Without eating flesh
we don't want everyone blood? To be crazy. We don't want to make everyone crazy.
Because Yaakov had a calming effect that affected the humans. Yaakov.
That was the same opinion. Wasn't
this? This.
Oh, good memory. Frank the Ritva, Good memory.
Thank you.
If it's true, what you're saying here, that a wolf was talking to Yaakov, why isn't it in Shaar Nisim Shenu Be'er Shabbos? The Pia Asun was created, right? How come it's not in there? Lefi Shekra Hiskiru Pia Asun. Right? Who Avul Chol Yotz? V'oid Yesh Leishu B'derech Efshe. He said, maybe. Mashivesi B'kam V'kam 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 In the name of Rabbeinu Ephraim, who was a Rishon, Sheyesh B'nei Adam, there are people at Shalitim certain times, V'shapchim L'zev, they turn into a werewolf, V'tarfim B'nei Adam, and they rip people apart. From Niflamoy, Lachin Efshah Zev Zed, Dibem Yaakov, Lachin Zev Rakel, he wasn't a regular wolf. Rak Adam Shinishdan on Zev, he was a werewolf. Lachin Ein Chiddush Klam, Asha Ibadab, it wasn't a Chish that he spoke. Shabbi Emesu Adam, and therefore only Lushah, for that moment he turned into a Zev. So therefore, it wasn't something that had to be created new, he was a human with wolf like tendencies, like he said about Binyamin. I told you not to put only one quarter in the meter, I wasn't kidding. All right. You hear what's going on here? Slebedik. Slebedik. Let's go by it. Okay. This we said last year. They're going to remember this. Why Yosef was looking in the mirror and stuff like that? Because he was created in the womb of...
Leah.
He was created... No. Leah had a boy, which was Yosef, right? And Rachel had a girl. And Leah davened, and they switched. So, Dina ended up in Leah, whose womb was for a male. Because Leah was carrying a male, the seventh Shevet. Her seventh Shevet. So she went out to Shechem because she had a male type of thing of going out of the house. Yosef was created in Leah, right? But ended up in Dina, and Dina was carrying, Rachel, and Rachel was carrying Dina. So he was brought up in a female womb. Therefore, he was brushing his hair, he looked in the mirror. Yeah. You didn't know that? You weren't here last year? Turei Zav in Pashba Yeshev. Kosav Lima Tzchusa Yosef Atzadik. How could it be that Yosef Atzadik was busy combing his hair, and he liked to look nice, and he looked in the mirror. The Lecho was a Daka Shal Isha. That's the way of a woman. Guys don't do that. Why is he going the way of women? Because Dina and Yosef were switched around when the pregnancies. He had the teva of a woman. Dina had the teva of a zacha. Flipped them around. Okay. That we learned last year. Now. The Sifsei Kayin says that Yosef HaTzadik... Okay, let me just tell you something else that's crazy fascinating. How could it be that Yosef told his father that he saw his brothers eating Eivir Menachai? Eivir Menachai means you don't shech the animal, you just pull it apart and you eat it without shechita.
Pregnant animal, you eat the baby, you get it in time or something like that.
Yeah, but it wasn't a baby, it was a regular sized animal. And he also came back and said that he didn't treat the maidservant's children, Bila Zilpa's children, correctly. You have to understand this was the Shvatim. So we learned an unbelievable lesson here in not judging someone else until you know. So he says the following. The six sons of Leah, Yaakov gave them the Sefer Yetzirah. The Sefer Yetzirah that Avraham Avinu wrote, how to create things, they had. He didn't give it to Yosef, he was too young. And he didn't give it to the four children of the maidservants because they weren't kaddish enough to do the Sefer Yetzirah. So he brings down over here that it was Erev Shabbos, very late. And they couldn't shech the animal, salt it, and take out all the veins. So they realized it was very late, but they had to have meat for Shabbos. So they used the Sefer Yetzirah to create an animal. But an animal that's created by Sefer Yetzirah doesn't need shechita, doesn't need anything. So that's what he saw. But he didn't know that they created the animal through the Sefer Yetzirah. At the same time, the four Shvachos said, hey, we also want to create. And the six Shvatim said to them, yeah, our father didn't give that to you because you're from Shvachos, and you have to be on a crazy dick of Kedusha to do the Sefer Yetzira. Yosef's hearing, oh, because you're from Shvachos? So he took that to mean that they were belittling. What he heard was they were belittling, and that they took back to his father also. What?
You out of context.
Yeah, that's what happens when you only hear part of the conversation. So he didn't have the, but Yosef knew how to create a, how to summon a shin dalad. So Potiphar's wife, this happened a few times. Sari Menu created a shin dalad can look like anybody in the world. They're called changelings. They have the power to look like anyone. The only thing they can't change is their feet. Their feet are duck, are webbed duck feet. So if you see someone by the pool, a guy by the pool with duck feet, run. Because that's the one thing they can't change. So Sari Menu, with certain Shemus, with Mashbia, controlled the Shin Dalid. And the night that she was with Abimelech, it wasn't her. It was a Shin Dalid. Esther Hamalka, when she had to go into the king, and she knew once he puts his scepter down where that's going to go. So it wasn't her. She created a Shin Dalid. So the question is, Yosef, you're a tzaddik. Potiphar's wife is bothering you, so create a Shin Dalid that looks like you.
You never say
it. No, that's not there. That's being mashbia. You're not creating, you're mashbia. You control that. Mm-hmm. There are people that can do it today. Bad people can do it today. So he says, I don't understand. Why didn't Yosef do that? All right, I'll tell you crazy stories. Why? No, they could be mashbia shade. They could have shade them working for them. They tell you things in the future and stuff like that. That's what they use. Whatever they use it. They use it, but there's a price to pay. No shade, shindal. No.
I'm saying it's mutter to do the shtick.
It's very dangerous. Machluf Lasri, who was my makubo for many years, I was very close to him, was mashbia malachim. And he had Malachim working for him, but he paid a big price. He had cancer in his mouth from using those words. You don't play with Malachim. They don't want to be bothered by humans. There's a price to pay. He paid a price. But he was unbelievable. He was a big tzaddik. He was a gadol. He was amazing. But he was mashbia. What? Yeah, so there's still people that know how.
Who
are they? It's just, you have to say certain words, whatever it is. But that's the Kaddish sticker side. They don't want to be bothered. If you're the Shindalit side, there's a big price to pay. They own you. You sell your soul to them. Anyway, so the question is, why did Joseph do it? So the answer is, he did. But she caught him, because she was a bigger sorcerer than he ever would be. So she's like, what are you doing? You sent me a Shindalit? She knew exactly what he's doing. He says, Sifsei Kayin Allah Tayyar Kasa Dabba Pella. She Yosef is be a shade. Yosef controlled the shin dalid. Echad she yabai v'yishka me'eshet potifa tachtav. Somebody who should take his place and be with eshet potifa. K'moish asa Sarah, like Sarah did, or wasn't Abimelech, it was Paro. She knisa ima shida l'paro. She brought in a shade that looked like her to Paro. V'chein esa l'chashverish. Like it says in the Zohar, Pasha Kiseitse. E'avol eshet potifa. She was a witch. She knew that ain't you. That's a shade. You think you're going to mess with me? Maybe the shade. You brought me a shin dalin. You think I don't know what you did? I only want you. 10 measurements of magic, witchcraft, came to the world. 9 of them were in Mitzrayim. They were the biggest in witchcraft in those days. So she caught him. She knew exactly what was going on.
But I Yosef did it from the Kedusha to Kesayid.
What?
But Yosef did it from the Kedusha to Kesayid.
Right, he said, the Mestavish Yosef is B'yaz HaShayid, Ayidei Shemes HaKedoshim, V'lo Yadei Kishav. V'imken Adav HaNifla, that the Eish Potifa was able to see through it. But the Chidah says that she was a crazy sorceress. There's another thing. That's one thing. The Arish Dvash says, no, she didn't catch him. He didn't. He wasn't Mashbi Ashe because no, if let's say she didn't catch him, the whole world will be saying that Yosef slept with her. Right? Because I would think Yosef would say, she would be a big Chil Hashem. Chat Hashem Chil Hashem. That's why he said, I'm going to have to fight this on my own.
So what about Esther and Sarah?
Wasn't Chil Hashem. Esther with Esther. Esther with Esther.
King.
She was the king's wife, king, the princess. Here, he's sleeping with a married woman. Sarah didn't do anything wrong. The king took her. He's doing a big avera. He wasn't forced.
She said Potiphar took him also.
No, she didn't take. No, he was seduced. He was not forced. She didn't force. She wasn't a queen. She was.
No.
She didn't want to kill him. Not at all. She wanted to take him to Gehenna. He says a story like this. This time, you ever hear of the Levush?
Yep.
Okay, listen to this. He says, the story of the Levush was like this. When he was young, Nisnasa ben Isayin Gadol, he was tested in a big test. He came, for some reason, to the Duchess to sell her, I guess he sold jewelry, whatever he sold. Umachmas Yafya, because he was so good looking, V'ta'orai Hatov, he had a beautiful stature and a beautiful look. Chem the Oisa, she wanted him. Lakshila Bavera to cause an Avera. He had nowhere to run from her. She locked all the doors and all the gates. The only way for him to get out, there was a hole underneath the toilet through the sewer system. He could only get out through the sewer system. He said, okay, give me a minute. She was trying to seduce him. And I need to go to the bathroom. I'll be right back. And he went to the Beis HaKisei. He squeezed himself through the sewer. And it was a filthy place. While he lavushed all the clothing he was wearing, and Kamamina Begadim, I guess he got dressed very well, the tinner falach lechazatzma, he became full of all the dew. It's called begodav atzavare. He went into the sewer until his neck. Became baruch hachutzin. That's how he got out. He went through the system. We need some nisan anayra, and he was saved from this terrible nisan. When he got out finally, and he got through this test, nasa kapav hashemayim, he lifted his hands to heaven, the tefillah with a prayer. He prayed that the next 10 generations, that come out of me, you will cool them, they should all be ugly. That the people shouldn't look at us, and because he was good looking, that's how he got into trouble. We shouldn't fall into a test because we're good looking. You hear?
Even the girls?
That's what he said. Now, there's a famous Rebbe that, Some of his generations after him came to me for tzedakah. There he went through something because of a lot of money, and he said, "Noy melimelach." He said, "All the generations that come out of me should always be poor," and they are. Yeah, the life for family comes from Noy melimelach. That's what he said. When they come to me to ask for help, they tell me, my great-great-grandfather cursed me. Not cursed me, but whatever. We should never have that. Should never have that test. So that night he went to sleep. And in his dream, because you were able to stand up in this test, that you saved your life by making dirty all your clothing. Hashem said, I'm going to give you new clothing. But the clothing I'm going to give you is the understanding of the Torah. Levushim chadashim, levushei or elyon. It's clothing from Shemayim. The kachu shemaaz hirgash kilu ruach hakodesh. He woke up the next morning. He had ruach hakodesh. Hitzchul lechabes svarim rabim, and he wrote a lot of different svarim. Bekarim Hashem levushim, halim sifrei levushim shenishkabu v'chol olam kulei. It's kizu levush. Shh. All right, I have a lot more. A lot more, but it's late. I just want to end. I have a lot more. We'll learn at Mitzvah next week. We have to learn through this whole thing. It's not normal. There's two things I want to just jump on, and we'll let you go. Two amazing things. Number one, a story of Hakaras HaTov. When Yosef said he didn't do anything, and Potiphar wanted to kill Yosef because he messed with his wife. What she did, right? She was a real sorceress, and she was very smart. What she did to prove that he did it, she took the raw egg, and she took the white of the egg, and she put it on the bed, and she said, "Here, you see, we did something." The Chachamim of the... There's a Gemara on this, by the way. The Chachamim, the priests, said, we're not sure it's what she says it is. It may be the white of an egg, it may be nothing, maybe she planted the whole thing. So they candled it. They put a fire underneath it. If it's one thing, it melts, sort of. If it's one thing, it hardens. If it's one thing, it becomes even softer. And when they candled it, they realized it was from an egg. So they told Potiphar, "Listen, I don't know what happened here, but that was planted. That's not what you think it is." They saved Yosef's life, and he had a Hakaras HaTov. So, at the end of Vayechi, or it's Vayish Vayechi, when everybody sold their lands and sold everything to get food, he said, and they put a tax on the whole Mitzrayim, he said, the priests, no tax. They don't have to pay for their food. Because they saved my life. Hakaras HaTov. Yosef HaTzadik had Hakaras HaTov. But what he did not realize is that by having Hakaras HaTov, when the Levim came down with Yaakov, the Levim, they were priests. They were considered the priests. And there was a law in Mitzrayim from Yosef, because the priest saved his life, that priests don't have to pay taxes, and priests are fed. They get their food for free. So Shevet Levi, the whole 210 years in Mitzrayim were not in Shibud. They were able to teach Klal Yisrael Torah. The whole reason that Shevet Levi wasn't in Shibud was because that Yosef had a Hakaras HaTov. He never knew that was going to happen. He had a Hakaras HaTov to the priests. So that was, because he had a Hakaras HaTov, he wrote that law stayed for the whole Mitzrayim, and that's what saved us. Because Shevet Levi was the ones who taught us. So Hakaras HaTov to Goyim, in the end, saved Shevet Levi, saved the whole Klal Yisrael. Shevet Levi never had to do any work, never had to pay any taxes. Number one, the power of Hakaras HaTov, and how far it goes. But even bigger, crazy chizik for anyone who's going through any trauma. I have to read it to you from inside. It's not normal. I have to read it to you from inside. So when this whole thing broke, Potiphar wanted to kill Yosef because his name, his wife saying that he accosted her. He can't just sit there. He was going to hang him. He was going to hang him. I have to read it to you from inside. It's not normal. So in the Medrash Avakir, in the Yalkut Shimoni, it says, Potiphar ratzu laharag is Yosef. Al shetava is ishtei, because he attacked his wife. Who saved Yosef? Who saved Yosef? Who told him, I know, I was there. It's not true. Who was the only one left in the house? It was Yosef, Potiphar's wife. They all went to that birthday party, Paro's birthday party. Who else was in the house? One little girl. Her name was Asnas. Until his daughter, because he adopted her, came secretly. She swore, and she told him the truth. I was there. This never happened. Your wife went after him. He didn't go after your wife. He ran out. The whole thing that she has here is not true. And it was Potiphar's daughter. He trusted her. So the Sipple Emma, so Amalek Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hashem said, Hoyo, since she's south as Yosef, you just saved Yosef's life. Because if Yosef died, there's no Ephraim and Manasseh, there's no saving the world, there's nothing. Chayecha, I promise you, Hashem said to Asnas, Shashvatim Shani Mamed Mimenu, the Shvatim that are going to come out of Yosef, Ephraim and Manasseh, Mashiach ben Yosef, that's going to come out of him, Hanu Shifte Ephraim Manasseh, Al Yochahim Bam. Because you saved his life, Hakaros HaTov, they're going to come through you. The rape of Dinah by Shechem created a child named Asnas. In the end, this child saved Yosef HaTzadik, who saved the whole world. Had she not gone to Potiphar, they would have hung Yosef. There would have been no food in the world, the whole world would have starved. So a person coming from such a terrible place and such a terrible story, in the end, stands up and saves Yosef, which ends up saving the world, which ends up creating and bringing to the world Mashiach ben Yosef. So no matter what you go through in your life, no matter where you're coming from, no matter what your struggle is, if Asnas, where she came from, a terrible situation, from a goy, Shechem was the father, a terrible situation, ended up the one that told Potiphar the truth. Everybody has a chance, no matter what you go through, to save the world. Here's an example in the Torah. That's one. The next is they brought Yosef in front of Paro. This is just brilliant. They brought Yosef in front of Paro, that Paro has to give the verdict of, do we hang this guy or don't we hang this guy? Ubo Malach Gabriel, Hashem sent down the Malach Gabriel, Bidmus Ish. He looked like a human. Va'amal Paro. And he said to Paro, I would like to help you with this judgment of, did he do it or not? He said, Imal HaMelech Toiv, that's what she said to Achashverosh, by the way, the same, Imal HaMelech, if it's okay with you, Yitzav HaLivdek B'Gdehem, why don't you check the clothing? B'Gadim Shomi Nikru, which one of their clothing was ripped? His or hers? Im B'Gdei Esh B'Tiva Nikraim, if her clothing is ripped, so therefore, that means she wanted to run away and he grabbed her. So it means that Yosef tried to grab her, she tried to get away, and he grabbed her to force himself on her. Being that Yosef Nikram, but if his clothing is ripped, means that he tried to run away, and she grabbed his clothing. So the king said, you know what, let me see his clothing, let me see her clothing. He saw that Yosef's clothing was ripped. And he realized, the king power realized, he's a tzaddik. So why do you throw him in jail? Ashes Potiphar answers Yosef. That was just the opposite. It was Ashes Potiphar that forced herself on Yosef. That's why he was thrown into the dungeon and he didn't kill him. We call Malcolm Loy Patru Miyad. He couldn't let him out. He had to do something. He couldn't embarrass Ashes Potiphar that she was unsuggestive because Potiphar was one of his ministers. So because Baruch Hu sent Gabriel down to show Paro that it wasn't him. No, Parsha, and I mama just touched it.
Went to jail just
because of her. It's brought down in a measure. I think she came to jail every day. She didn't give up. She said, you want to get out of jail? You have to be with me. The HR doesn't give up. This was, according to the Chida, this was the war of the worlds. Yosef is the Yisoid, the foundation of Tahara, of purity and cleanliness. And she, if he would have done the Aveira, the world would have been destroyed. He was a Gilgal of Adam. He was a Gilgal of Adam, and she was a Gilgal of the wife of the Satan. And the Chiddush says that because she was able to do it, she was the most beautiful woman ever created, ever in the world. And she was going to make him sin, and that would have been the end of the world. She had to break the sight. That's what she was trying to break. And what had saved Yosef's life? He looked in the mirror, and he saw his father because he looked exactly like his father. He didn't see his father. He saw himself. He saw himself, but he looked exactly like his father. That's what saved him. Because at the end of the day, I wish kids today would realize that they're B'nai Yisrael. Look in the reflection of who you are. You are the child of Hashem, first of all. But outside of that, Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, all the people that came out of the Holocaust and didn't give up and said, we got to do, you know, keep Torah and mitzvahs, and we have to rebring. Just look in the mirror, look who you are, and that'll keep you away from doing all this. He looked at his Dikuno Shalaviv, he looked at where he comes from, not where he's at. And I think that's my message, going to be my message in Or Yitzhak Yishavus. I talk to the boys, stop looking at where you're at, because you're not at such a good place, some of you. And that's just pushing you into the ground. But look where you come from. You come from struggle. You come from, we're still here. No one else is still here. You come from Kedusha. You come from the Holocaust. You come from the Inquisition. You come from the Crusades. You come from Mitzrayim. You come from everything that we went through. And the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash, the destruction of the Beis. Stop looking at where you're at, because where you're at is not so good right now. Look where you come from. So where Yosef was at almost destroyed him. Where he was at that moment almost destroyed him. But when he saw where he came from, that's what saved him.
He also looked all the time where he's going to.
He saw his name on the Eifel, on the Choshen, his name's going to be erased on the Choshen.
So he was able to go somewhere, that's also gave him...
Right, where he came from, where he's going, right. He
never looked back. He looked back to his father, but he always knew that he's going somewhere. That's really what kept him going.
What stopped it was the Kuno Shel Aviv. What stopped it is, I am the son of Yaakov. I'm the son of Jacob. I'm not some piece of schmutz with, hanging out, chilling out with some woman. You know who I am? I don't have that pride. You know who I am? I'm a B'nai Yisrael. That's what we call ourselves. We don't call ourselves Yisrael. So we're looking at the B'nai with the children of Yisrael. Yaakov Avinu. So it's not Yisrael, it's B'nai. You know where I come from? I'm a prince. I'm not stomp some piece of garbage. And he, you know, it's a very interesting measure because she said to him, whatever, they were in bed together, whatever was going on, but she said to him, she had an avodah zarah. He wanted her to bow down. He wanted to destroy her. She wanted to destroy him totally. So at the head of the bed, at the bottom of the bed, where the feet of the bed, was a huge avodah zarah. Mitzvim were very big into avodah zarah. So she said, we can't do this in front of my holy avodah zarah. So she got up, she took a sheet, and she covered it. She covered it. Shouldn't see what they're doing, what they're about to do. He jumped out of bed. He said, I'm out of here. What happened? She goes, you don't have a big enough sheet to cover my God's face. That's what the Midrash says. He's everywhere. I'm out of here. She thought she's going to cover it. She's going to make it easier to do that. The minute she covered it, he said, oh my God, you covered your God. I can't cover my God. There ain't no sheet big enough. I'm out of here. But she says in the pasuk that she took his beged and she put it next to her. And Chidah says the beged is the chitzainius. She couldn't grab onto his neshama, but she grabbed onto his beauty that he kept looking at, his chitzainius. And she said that you ran away now, but she folded and she said, till the master comes home, I'm going to keep it next to me. The master is Hashem. Till Mashiach comes, till the master comes home, the chitzainius I own. Yitzhak says, I'll get to you. I can't get to your neshama. He can't touch your neshama. Your neshama is too holy. It would burn him. He can't touch a person's neshama. But he said, I'll get you through your guf. Through all the stuff. All the physical stuff. So when he ran, he left that. Because he realized, I can't fight her. If I'm going to be in my guf, I can't fight her. There's too much going on here. I can't fight her. So he left his guf by her. He left his chitzainia. She said, I'm keeping this till the master comes home. That's what the pasuk says. So until Mashiach comes, the Yetzer Hara gets us through our physical bodies.
How we can protect ourselves?
The less physical, the more spiritual you become, the less he has to grab onto. The more physical, the more you give him to grab onto. The less physical, the less he has to grab onto. It was a war of the worlds. You read the Chadon this week? It was a war of the worlds. She could get him to do it. We were finished. The whole world was finished. The world would have cracked. The whole world would have cracked. We've been gone. Over. It's a hard word of one. Crazy war. Crazy war. Anyway, Baruch Hashem, we're here. And Kevin Rochel's still here. And Beersheba's still here. And we haven't found no fish and no other animal. So, Bezrat Hashem, Mashiach will be here very soon. And we'll see all the tzaddikim and Yosef HaTzadik and Yaakov Avinu. And whenever you feel that you're in trouble, think about where you come from, the Dikuno Shalav, how many tests we've gone through and how many wars we've gone through. And we're still here, and that it'll give you the kayak to continue.
Amen.
Good tanach. Now you can. So now everybody, you can get out of your cars and go back to work and go back to making your kugel and your chillin. By the way, everyone tells me, Ray Wallstein, I listen to you while I'm cooking my chillin, my kugel, I'm making my challah. Nobody has ever sent me any food. Nobody. Still waiting. Okay, atzlacha.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.